Thank you for tuning in to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. And as we study Matthew in a dispensational view in Lesson 18, and Matthew chapter 5, verse 18 is where we're at. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Till heaven and earth pass, one jot and one tittle, no way wise will the law pass or till it's fulfilled. In the Old Testament, all the Old Testament, if you think about it, is future history from what we're at right now. Do you agree or disagree? Okay, so the things that was going on in the Old Testament is future history and written in advance. And the Old Testament, and it did not end with the first coming of Jesus Christ. We know that in the Old Testament you can find things that was going to point to the fact that Jesus Christ was going to be born, Jesus Christ was going to die, Jesus Christ was going to be buried, and Jesus Christ was going to raise again. So some of the Old Testament sayings and principles did not end there, did they? Because you know if you study the Word of God, there's some things in times past, but now in ages to come. So there's a lot of things in the Old Testament still looking future from the point at the first coming of Jesus Christ. Now, we're not going to turn there, but if you want to look at it later on, Psalms 119 is the Hebrew alphabet. And when he mentions the jot and tittle, that's where you find that. You can look at that later on, but Psalms 119, verse 73 is where you find the jot, the G-O-T. That's that. And then the tittle is 119, verse 25. That's the markings. Now, I can't write Hebrew, and I can't speak Hebrew, but there's some markings on letters and stuff. One jot, one tittle, that's what it's referring to. Okay.
Verse 73 was the jot. Verse what?
Verse 25 is the markings, is a tittle. It's that little ending thing of that. So that's what Lord Jesus Christ, it's not when he says, till heaven pass away, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So that should tell you something. The law is not fulfilled even during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You with me? They're going to carry over some law issues over here in Hebrews through Revelation. Verse 19, Matthew 19. Whosoever, therefore, shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And this verse is reference to keeping the law, as we call it, what? The Ten Commandments, okay? When the kingdom is set up and Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne over in Hebrews through Revelation, you know the Ten Commandments are going to be taught. You know, I'm thinking about this. When you go in some justice buildings out there, don't they usually have the Ten Commandments written, you know, in stone behind people? So the Ten Commandments is going to be taught. Go to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. And then we're going to go to Isaiah 42. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow into it. Now, what do we talk about Matthew's portraying Jesus Christ as what? King. And when he goes up on a mount, Okay? That's a symbol of a kingdom. Okay? So he's going up on a mountain. This is saying the mountains, the Lord's house is going to be established. In verse 3, "And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." So in ages to come, when the Lord Jesus Christ is setting up a kingdom, the word of the law is going to go out, okay, to establish this kingdom of people. Isaiah chapter 42. Verse 19. "Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messengers that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant, seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but heareth not? The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the," what? "Law and make it honorable." Now, what law would you think Isaiah is referring to? Okay, law of Moses. Okay, it meant something. You know, over and over and over, when we talk about when the Lord Jesus Christ here, didn't the Pharisees and Sadducees try to trick him into doing things or saying things? And the Lord Jesus Christ would always point back to who? Moses. Yeah. What did Moses tell you to do? So what God gave Moses was something for them to make. Now he's going to, what did it say it's going to do? Make it, what? Honorable. And as Jesus Christ's second coming in the kingdom, he will magnify that law. More so than anybody has ever had in the history of the Bible. From Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Go back to Matthew. All the way down to verse 48. Last verse in that this chapter. Lord Jesus Christ is going to magnify the law and makes it honorable to keep it. Not just to, you know, that wearing it on your sleeves, so to speak, right? And we're going to see some things. It's going to reference to a new covenant, not the old covenant. We know they couldn't keep that law, right? But it's still the law. Go to Jeremiah chapter 31 and Ezekiel 36. Jeremiah 31. Now we, through different types of studies, where do you find where do you find the Old Testament in the Bible? Okay, you say Genesis through Malachi, right? Where would you say you find the New Testament?
Start with Acts chapter 9.
Okay, you say Hebrews, you say Acts chapter 9, you say after death.
Hebrews could be, yeah, right.
Okay, but the New Testament and the New Covenant, are they the same?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The old covenant and the new covenant. That's what he's going to work with. It's not the Old Testament and New Testament. We know from the blood, there's no testament until the death of the what?
Testator.
That's Hebrews. Okay, Hebrews tells us that. Okay, but when God is going to magnify, we're going to chapter 31, verse 31. When God is going to magnify the law and make it honorable, he's not referring to that old covenant. He's going to start referring to a new covenant. Okay? Where do you find that at?
New covenant.
Yeah.
Jeremiah.
We're getting ready to see it. Yeah, Jeremiah 31. So you would say, okay, you find the Old Testament, New Testament, in the Old Testament. If that makes sense. It does for me because you're getting ready to see it. Look, Isaiah 31. Jeremiah 31, 31. Yes.
Verse
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, and I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. You know what he did? He married Israel. Israel was the bride. Okay? And they broke the covenant. Verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my what? People. Now who's he talking about there? Okay, verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them until the greatest of them, saith the Lord, and I will forgive their iniquities, and I shall remember their sins no more. He's making a new covenant with his people. Okay? And he's saying, don't teach everybody to know me. Now, what are you doing today? Teaching everybody to know God, right? But he's going to say, don't teach every man to know me, because why? Where's he going to put it at? In their hearts and in their inner parts, okay? They're going to know him in the spirit realm, if you will. Much like you and I know who Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is today by spirit, okay? That's the main thing. It's a heart issue, and we're going to see some things. Ezekiel chapter 36. Verse 26.
Say that again.
Ezekiel 36. Verse 26. A new heart also will I give you. Who's that you? Okay, that's who he's talking about, right? This is future prophecy for ages to come. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Okay? A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of what? Flesh. Verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statute, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. He's going to cause them to walk. They ain't going to have they ain't going to have a choice, are they? Because it's going to be in their hearts, it's going to be in their soul, it's going to be in their mind, and it's going to cause them to do it. Okay, that flesh is going to be out of the way, right? It's going to have a new heart. Go back to Matthew chapter 5. You know, knowing that's a part of Israel's program, I don't know about you guys sometimes, I wish that would happen to me right now. That he would cause me not to do, you know what I mean? Because, boy, this flesh pops up, don't it? Boy, I want this and want that. And, you know, or say this or say that. You know, I know what you're pointing at. But anyway, chapter 5, verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, what's that saying? If the scribes and Pharisees, wouldn't they, were the big righteous to-do people? And if your righteousness don't exceed that, you're not going into the kingdom of heaven. What did the Lord Jesus Christ just do? Righteousness will have to exceed the scribes and the Pharisees. That is the old Mosaic, Old Testament, Old Covenant law. That's tough, isn't it? You know what that is? That's self-righteousness works. That's what it is. In the kingdom, the New Testament, New Covenant, if you will be righteous living in the hearts of the believers. You and I ain't going to be able to do it. We're not going to be over anyway. We're going to be in heavenly places. But they're not going to be able to do it. They couldn't do it then. I tell you something. Can you do it today? You know how many times, let me pull this up real quick. You know how many times that righteousness is mentioned in Paul's epistles? Take a guess.
323 times.
Close. 57 times. And the first time it's mentioned is Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. And if you read those down through there and do a search on that, the righteousness, what Jesus Christ did at Calvary, is the main thing for us today. You are righteousness. That's justification. See, when you're justified, you made righteous with God, because there's no such thing as righteousfied. Okay, you with me?
You said 50 times.
57 times. And there's some wonderful verses, Romans, all through Romans. Seem like Romans is full of the term righteousness, you know. But I just want to share that with you, but the fact that you are made righteousness right today through the blood shed of Jesus Christ, and it's in your heart and soul. See? It's forever settled. Verse 21, 5:21 and 22. And by the way, verse 21, that's a performance system that those scribes and Pharisees put you under. You had to do this, or you didn't get this. Or you had to do this, you didn't get this. You know, that's what we call if-then situations. If you do this, you get it. If you don't, you get that, right? Verse 21, if you have heard that it was said by them of old time, who's them of old time? Okay, prophets. Thou shalt not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be danger of judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Reka. How many of y'all said that to your brothers? See, that's a Jewish term, and this has to do with the Israelites and how they treated people. Say, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of what? Hellfire. The verses that we just read is in contrast between the Old Testament Mosaic covenant, which says, thou shalt not kill, and if you kill, you will be in danger of judgment. But the new covenant that God is going to establish in the hearts and going to take over here with the kingdom living, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause is what?
Danger of judgment.
Danger of judgment. Okay? Go to Mark chapter 3.
Is that kill? Shouldn't that be murder?
No, it's kill. Sorry.
You know, I got one question I can't get by here.
Okay.
Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach man so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
Now wait a minute. How do I make that work? How can somebody be teaching in the kingdom of heaven to break them off? I know I'm not understanding that correctly, so I'm trying to get by. Right there in Matthew 5:19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach man so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. How would they be able to do that in the kingdom of heaven?
Well, apparently in the kingdom of heaven, when God sets it up on this earth over here, it's reigning for 1,000 years. And maybe, you know, there's the adversaries out there working daily, you know, maybe they're teaching it, but he's probably, so how can I say this?
Doesn't that verse teach that there's the forgiveness of sins even in that? I mean, if you do something against
you're still in the kingdom of God.
You're going to be able
you're still in the kingdom.
make amends for that, just like they did, you know, your two turtle doves, your...
Yep.
So they're still going to make mistakes and do things they're not supposed to do.
If somebody gets in the flesh with this, saying, hey, you got to do this, 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 they're still in the kingdom. They just lost rewards. They're least in that kingdom. But how? But to answer your question, how are you going to do it? When we a couple verses later, he's putting it in their hearts. He's putting it in their members.
Yeah, it's hard for me to.
We can look at that in a little bit. But Mark chapter 3, without a cause. Mark chapter 3, Matthew, Mark, verse 5. And when he had looked around about all of them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto man, stretch forth thy hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored with whole as the others. You know that some Bible versions make Jesus out to be a sinner by saying without a cause. You know that. They leave that cause out, okay? Okay, because what we just read, it says, verse 22 in Matthew, angry with his brother, and they leave out with a cause. Well, you can be angry with the brother. You with me? You know, you may not like what I'm doing. I'm your brother. You can be angry with Ed. Okay, with a cause. But you don't want to be angry without a cause. You know, that type of thing. John chapter 2. John chapter 2.
Could you ever really be angry at somebody without a cause?
Just because.
Yeah, I'd say you could. I'd say you could just, well, you could. Can you not drum up causes that's false?
Yeah, but you still...
He's saying it's not a legitimate cause.
Yeah. It's got to be, I mean,
there
if you...
There are times that you can have a personality conflict with somebody and not get along with them and not like them for any reason.
Well, they don't say anything about like. You know,
I'm not talking about that.
Cause,
but then you're just always putting them under the microscope, looking at everything they do, yeah. Being angry at them.
Yeah.
It builds. You really don't have a reason.
It builds. It builds and builds and builds and builds. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah. You know, I always say, you know, you love people because of Jesus Christ, but you don't have to like what they do. You know, be angry and sin not. You know, chapter 2, verse 15 of John. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, the sheep and the oxen, and poured the chargers of money and overthrew the table. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ going in there and being angry. Okay? And he started turning over tables and driving out the people. Now, would that be with a cause or without a cause?
Without a cause.
Okay, so I see where you're going. How can you, you know, just, I don't know, I've seen some weird people in my life, and for some reason they just explode with, you know, boom. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. This is the verse that Brother Leon just mentioned. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So it's okay to be angry with a cause, if you think about it. And you know, that bothered me over years and years and years, because you're sitting there, you might have been angry with somebody. And I always heard, don't let the sun go down. You better call them up. You know, you better make it right. Go down on rapid, because I know when you don't, you sit there. And you stewing overnight. And I've tossed and turned and, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, and today's electronics, you do some texting or emailing. And some of those things you can't take back. And sometimes things you don't know what I'm saying and my way I'm portraying things, and you say, gosh almighty, Ed's angry at me. You know, what is going on? And you fire back something. And I fire back, and because emails and text, they're hard to understand, you know that? Sometimes.
Yeah, you know, you can do that with Christian people. on the other side of that phone is a Christian as well, would be willing to go along with that. Boy, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be angry with somebody that's not a Christian, and you call them and you just make it worse.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not willing to shake hands and forgive it.
Mm. But again, on that, go back to Matthew chapter 5. It is the heart motivation, and I think the heart motivation is in any dispensation that God dispensed. Okay? It's what is in here. Okay? And it's the outward, and it's not just the outward observation action, it's your ability to control that outward thing. If I get angry, you know, I have the ability to control it. Okay? I really do. But sometimes if I don't, boy, Ed's angry. Or his voice, you know, his voice, boy, you sound angry all the time. That type of thing, you know what I mean? And it's not that. In the kingdom of God, God will give them a new heart. Did we not just read that in Ezekiel? Go back to Matthew. Okay? In Deuteronomy chapter 30, he talks about that. The promise of the new covenant is back over here that he's going to put in their hearts over here. Israel will then know that they needed Christ to do what they could not do themselves. That law pointed to everybody as what?
Guilty.
When we look at dispensations, we look at the dispensation of promise. Okay, that's a promise that God gave Abraham about the nation and land. Okay, then there's a dispensation of law. The law was added to the promise to annul the promise. It was just added to the promise. The promise never did go away. Okay? Then you have the dispensation of grace. Then you have the dispensation of the kingdom. Then you have the dispensation of the fullness of time. There's 5 dispensations there. And each one of them kind of builds upon the other one. But that law, when the law did not go away with, and Paul explains to us what that law did, it was a schoolmaster to point us to what? Sin. Okay? That law, well, we know what laws do out there. You got...
It's for the sinner, not the righteous.
Okay? In the following passages, down from Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, all the way down to 43. Notice how, let's look at some of these right quick. Notice how Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, magnifies the law and contrasts it between the Old and New Testament. You see your sheet there? That's where we're at down there. We're looking right here on this table. Old and new. Old and new. Verse 21. We read that? Have ye not heard in old time that thou shalt not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of what? The new is going to be, but I say whoever say is anger with a brother without a cause shall be danger of judgment. See what he's doing? He's magnifying. He's making that law more honorable. Verse 27 down here. If ye have heard that I was said... Wait a minute. If ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. What does verse 28 say? But I say unto you that whatsoever look on a woman to lust after her have committed adultery with her already in his what? Heart. He didn't do away with the law. What did he do? He magnified it. He made it more honorable. He gave them something else to think. You have heard, but I say this. He's putting on them so bad that they ain't never going to be able to keep it. Look at verse 31. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a written divorcement. Verse 32. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put his wife away, saying for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. You have heard, but I say this: Verse 33. Again, if ye have heard that it had been said by them of old time, thou shalt not, forswear themselves, but shall perform unto the Lord thy oaths. Oath. Verse 34. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. 38. If ye have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Have you not heard that? Yes. Verse 39. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, then he turn to him the other also. Okay, you see that? In the kingdom, this is what's going to happen. In the kingdom, they're going to have the love and the righteousness in their hearts. And they're saying, go ahead, hit me again. I love Paul says, if possible, live peacefully with all men. You know, people today tell you turn that other cheek and let somebody just, you know, well at you and all that stuff. And Paul says, hey, if possible, live peacefully. If you back me in the corner, I'm only going in the corner so far. Then we're going to come out and we're going to talk peacefully. Look at verse 43. If ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, verse 44, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and prosecute you. Go to Malachi chapter 3. What we just read is some things that the fact that this is what the law says, is it not? But Jesus said, this is what I'm saying. He is magnifying that law and making it more honorable in a way that He's going to do it for you. See, in the dispensation of grace, He has done that for us. See, He died for us. He covered all this stuff. And guess what? He makes us righteousness where we can live righteousness in who? In Christ. They're going to live righteousness in Christ in the kingdom over here. See? And God's going to be dwelling in the hearts of the believer just like He dwelt back over there. So, yes?
What you're describing there then, what He's describing, there's two ways of understanding that law. There's one in the flesh, so the commandments that the law will lay down, like of course, literal law. But He says the one that I'm holding you to, it's impossible for you to keep it unless I give that new heart and that new... Then you can't break it. You won't want to break it. You can't. And that's what you're reading, the difference between the two right there.
And Ezekiel and Jeremiah is very clear when he puts that new, take away that stony heart and put that new heart and all that stuff and calls them to walk. God's going to do it. Not no writing of stones, tablet stones, right? Okay? And today... You know, if you want to look some contrast, once again, today, you already up front righteousness. You already up front forgave. You already, you know, He gives it to you up front. Go to Malachi chapter.
Yeah, He's doing it for me.
And He's going to.
You guys are going to have it put in them literally. They're going to be that person. You ain't going to look at a woman and think like that. You're not going to get angry. You'll never have to turn a cheek. It's just that new heart that's literally going to be put in.
And I believe they had that opportunity over here, in that tabernacle, Remember we talked about the tabernacle made with skins, and He put that heart of that covenant right in that midst of that skin. You're skinned. See, that heart and that covenant and that law and stuff should always been right in their. You know, many people use David as an example of murder, adultery, he should have been killed, blah, blah, blah. But you always talk about God said he was a man after his what?
After my own heart.
Okay. He knew where his heart was, but he also knew where his flesh was. See? And that's what saved that man, that heart issue. You may agree with it or not, but look at Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delighted in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like the refiner fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. Why Levi?
The
priest. You know, they're the ones that's supposed to have been doing this and doing that. Silver. And they make offer unto the Lord's as an offering in righteousness. Isn't that who they had to go to get the righteous God? Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as the days of old and as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will make swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, against those that oppress the hirelings and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the strangers from the right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what that's reference of? Times to come. Amen. It's Israel will go through the tribulation period and get cleansed. Who's going to press them over here? Who's going to point fingers at them? Who's going to make them feel unworthy? The Antichrist and stuff. But Israel runs to the nation, and God's going to cleanse them, that little faithful remnant. Go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, all the way down to verse 48. In the kingdom, your righteousness will be, their righteousness will be from a heart motivation. You saw the verses. You saw them take that stony heart out. They're going to put a new heart in. And the individual might be able to control the outward response, okay? Much like you do today, if you think about it. You can control this flesh if you want to. However, they cannot control their hearts, the reaction, the anger, the envy, the malice. They can't control that, because what did you just read? God's going to put it in their hearts, and it's going to cause them to walk. The righteousness of lifestyle of the kingdom living is demonstrated in the Sermon on the Mount, what we just read, okay? And is required in the Sermon on the Mount of the kingdom saints. You're going to have to do this, kingdom saints, in ages to come. For the purpose of declaring God's name among the nations. That's how. Was they not supposed to have been separated back here?
Right.
That's sanctification, guys. They was justified, but God pulled them out and became a nation of priests. And then they got sanctified to be separated from the world. And it was not for the purpose of gaining His approval, by the way. They already had their approval of God.
Right.
And it was for the sole purpose of glorifying God and being a witness of God before the nations. That was in times past who Israel was supposed to be. But now, God is not working through a favorite nation status. He's working through a body of Christ. And you should not let people say, you're a part of Israel. God switched the program. He's not dealing with Israel today, so you're become spiritual Israel. That's wrong. Then in ages to come, Hebrews through Revelation, God goes back dealing with the nation Israel as their favorite nation status. Until next week.